Okay,
just let me know when you're done.
So the first place we're going to turn is Exodus 4. But normally when I do any, like the Sunday school or anything, I'll write down stuff I want to say in between the verses. And I didn't do that this time because I didn't want to have the Lord freeze me in something and not know what to say and me just read off what I thought was good and he not want me to do that. So today I'm just going to go and see what the Lord has for us. So Exodus 4, verse 14 through 21 says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak with him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go." So we see first God is preparing Moses to go before Pharaoh to speak on behalf of letting the people go. Moses is God's spokesman, but also God gave the spokesman a spokesman. So no matter what we go, where we go or where God will send us, he will give us help along the way. He's not just going to send us with half the gear we need, so to speak. And no matter where we go, we're going to meet people that either God has hardened their hearts or they have hardened them themselves. And God will only harden your heart if you stiffen your neck, I believe. And that's what Pharaoh did. And we as Christians can harden our hearts and stiffen our necks in the small things, and that will keep us from being his people in the aspects we need to let others go, to show them the light. And I personally, in my daily walk, I don't want to stiffen my neck in the small things of maybe talking to someone or inviting them to church or anything. So I want to be more like Moses and waiting for when the Lord will tell me to go, but not be as, the one who was swallowed by the
Jonah.
And when he has me go, I run the other way. So I just want to be where God wants me at the time. Next, we'll go to Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." So, again, God is sending Moses, and he will go before Pharaoh, but God has hardened his heart because he has stiffened his neck. And it says, in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god." He wouldn't trust the average Christian to be made a god in anyone's eyes, because average Christians will make the average mistakes, and they'll stiffen their necks in the average ways, and they won't be able to handle the peer pressure of being in the world but not of the world. So I don't personally want to be made a god in anyone's eyes, because I don't think I could handle that pressure at all. So I'm just hoping that the Lord will strengthen me in the word and give me the wisdom and how to live my daily life. And that it's easy during teen week because we're not in the world as much. We're with fellow Christians. We're getting preached to morning and night. We can be in the Word, and it's easy to be close to God then. But then once it's over and we go to work, how much of that do we take with us? And I want to be able to take that with me everywhere I go. But so much of it gets forgotten in our daily lives. But it's the stiffening of the neck and the small things that starts the snowball rolling. So we gotta keep the small things where they need to be, and we need to do them. Even no procrastination, no we'll get it later, or they won't listen to me because, you know, it's just me. You don't know what people think of you because you see yourself in a certain light while they're looking at you from a completely different angle. They don't live with you from in the same house with you, so they don't know that you read your Bible, or the only thing that they see of you is what you show them in the average day-to-day life. What are you talking about in front of them? What jokes are you saying? How are you composing yourself? Are you trying to wear the same clothes as them? Are you trying to fit in as much as possible? Or are we letting God set us aside? Are we letting our mouth be God's spokesman? Are we letting God have our mouth? Are we letting our worldly desires take hold? So the next place I'd like to go is Deuteronomy 15. Verses 6 through 8. It says, "For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt not reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanteth." So, in our daily life, if we see someone struggling, maybe we can't give them money right then, or maybe we can't sit with them for an hour or two and talk with them, but we can stop for 2 minutes and just say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying about you. I will come back and I will talk to you. I'll give you a track. I will read verses with you. I may help you financially," or, you know, we can just make them see that they're not alone. We're not shutting our hands from them. They are our poor. Do not shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Think of every person as a family member. Even if you personally disagree with them or they disagree with you, just think of them as a family member that you are reaching out to. And sometimes it's harder to reach out to family members than it is to, you know, your coworkers or your friends, but at the same time, you can't close thy hand. You can't shut your mouth and stiffen thy neck in the small things. So the next place we're going to go is Proverbs. Proverbs 28. Verses 13 through 14. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." So in verse 14, when it says, "Happy is the man that feareth always," it's not talking about fearing the world or the peer pressure or what they're going to think of you. It's talking about fearing God and fearing what might happen to that person if you don't say something to them. What you don't know, and you know this is said a lot, but you don't know that they have tomorrow. Nowadays everyone says that and it's just like something they shrug off. "Oh, I've got time." You know, everyone says that, never happens to me, or it doesn't happen to anyone I know. But you don't honestly know that they will be there in the next half hour. You're passing someone by and a verse comes on your heart to tell them, and you're like, they're busy right now, or I'm busy right now, I gotta go somewhere, I gotta do something, and then you come back later, and they could be gone. They not promise the next 5 seconds. It also says, "But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." When it always seems that things are falling apart on you and you can't do anything right, is it because you've hardened your heart? You're falling into the mischief that you've tried to keep yourself out of and you haven't let God keep you out of it?
Yes.
It is so easy just to walk with your friends into dark places that you don't want to be. You've told yourself many times you wouldn't go there, but it's just so smooth just to slip back in into the world, into your old habits even. But God can keep you in the hollow of his hand where no man can pluck you out. Are we plucking ourselves out? Are we letting ourselves go with the flow, so to speak? Are we going with all our friends and even sometimes our family members? Are we letting them control how we think about God? In verse 13, it says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." Is your Bible reading prosperous? Are you praying and seeing prayers answered? If not, you're possibly covering up a sin you don't know of. It's the small little things that can hinder the rest of your day in Bible reading. It can ruin your prayer. It could not even fall upon God's ears sometimes because you're just doing this, not doing the small things he's having you. And if you're not doing the small things, how can he trust you with anything bigger? It's you're the useless tool in the shed then. You're not being used anymore. But it also says, "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." You got to set yourself apart, but at the same time, fear God and do what he has you to do in the world. Just because, you know, your friends are going to this party and you want to give, you know, you want to talk to them, doesn't mean you have to go into the party with them. Maybe you're walking on the same street and they're going to go into this house and party all night. As you're walking, you can talk to them about the Bible and church and how it prospers to be with God, to know him personally, not just what other people tell you on Sundays and Wednesdays and even Thursdays. Because I think all of us come to every service, but at the same time, how much of it are we taking home? Are we might even write it down in our notebook, but does it stay in our notebook? Does it stay inside the church?
It's good, Eric. It's good, buddy.
So, the next place is Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Or I'm sorry, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for thy will not make unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Again, it's in the small things that it's you're stiffing your neck and your heart becomes hard and you don't even realize it. You think personally that you're good. You and God are tight, you think. But at the same time, how much mischief are you getting into? Is he using you in daily life? Is he showing you things in the Bible? Is he pricking your heart? Is he doing anything that you think that a father, God as a father figure, would be doing if you're in his will? If not, there's something wrong on your end. You're not doing the small things. You're not speaking in daily living with, you know, your family about God. You're not giving out tracts. You're not even thinking about him personally. How can we show others God if we ourselves aren't looking for him? We need to prepare our hearts, not only just for Teen Week, but for daily, every day,
yes,
to be in the Word of God, to be willing for him to use us, for our hearts to be prepared. Because we aren't even promised tomorrow, let alone, you know, our friends or anyone else. We personally, are our hearts prepared? Is the soil ready for the harvest? Are we hard-hearted? Have we stiffened our necks to God? And sometimes God hardens our hearts, like it said, but even then, we need to soften our necks. We need to try. We need to show him that we're ready to come back. We need to show others God through us. Even if you feel like he's not using you, there's some remnants of him still there.
It's
still a small voice. Now we're going to go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, verse 19 through 22. It says, "And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened, and in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And now his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." So we as Christians, we know the word of God. We know what that we're supposed to fear, and we know what God wants of us, what he expects from us, and what he will appoint whoever he chooses. He will put down whoever he chooses. He will set up men of God to show the people where his God's will is. But now that we have this knowledge, are we still hard-hearted? Are we allowing God to rule in our hearts, specifically us personally, from day-to-day life? Are we allowing the small things to slip away and hardening our hearts and stiffing our necks? Are we allowing God to show us his will in our life from day-to-day, from big things to little things? You know, there's a point to where, like Dale said before, you know, I don't think God cares if you order foxes that night. But at the same time, you know, does God care if you leave a track on the table? You know, it's the small things that can get overlooked so easily and are overlooked all the time. But if there's a prick in your heart, you need to stop and you need to listen to that still small voice. You know, the world is so loud and it's so easy to let the world drown out that voice. But at the same time, you need to learn not to be of the world, or not to be part of the world, but be in it. You got to learn where the volume is for the world. You got to turn that down. You got to listen to the still small voice. Because God will appointeth over whosoever he will. Who has God appointed over you in the church or even at work? Are you allowing them to be a tool for God? Are you being the tool for God? Are you appointed up somewhere where you could be doing more for God than you are? You know, in the household, you know, you might not be able to lead a Bible study because you don't think that you have the ability in your words or even the wisdom or anything, but maybe you could have someone be a spokesman for you. Maybe God sent you a spokesman, but you aren't willing to set aside your daily life to go and talk to him and ask him. Because maybe he doesn't know he's going to be your spokesman. Maybe he doesn't know what he's supposed to do because God's sending you to him. Are we talking to whom we're supposed to about what we're supposed to? Because, you know, God could say, hey, go talk to so-and-so at work about me. And you go up and you go to talk to him, but then the peer pressure gets to you and you just ended up talking about baseball or, you know, work stuff. And you can say, yeah, I talked to him, Lord, but it wasn't what he wanted. It's the little things about where the conversation's going. You don't have to start it out with, you know, hey, you need to come to church. But maybe you can start it out with, hey, how's your day? You know, guess what happened at church today? You know, we were taught this, and you know, maybe something touched your heart personally, and you think they would enjoy it more. They would want to hear more about it, but instead you ended up talking about work, or you know, such and such a friend did, you know, this thing. You know, you gotta learn to let God lead the conversation through you. Where God can't come down and talk to us personally or our friends, but he can use our mouth. You can allow yourself to be under the will of God. Is our will getting in the way of God's will? And that's what happens a lot. We want, you know, maybe we want to go to the movies Wednesday night, or we want to go swimming Sunday morning, or, you know, what's getting in the way of us having our mindset in the house of God while we're sitting there?
Right.
Or even in the same, in the our mind thinking about the Bible as we're reading. Because there's been a lot of times where you could be reading and you get through a whole chapter or even a whole book of the Bible and realize you weren't paying any attention. It was just all going through the motions. You were thinking about, you know, I wonder who's going to win this next baseball game or basketball game, or, you know, what such and such a person is doing at work, and is this done at the house, or, you know, I wonder who, you know, who did what at work, and why was, you know, all the managers in a circle talking about me, or, you know, you can get so caught up in the world's mindset that the Lord has no room to show you what He wills, what He wants out of you. Are we allowing that to happen in our daily lives? Because if you're not being a tool for God, a useful workman, a servant of God, He will put you down and set someone else up. Have you lost someone in your life because you've been put down because you weren't speaking for Him, for God? You weren't speaking to Him, and now God has to try and find someone else to send? Do you feel dead? Has it feels like God slew you spiritually? Or are you alive? Are you fighting being the servant you're supposed to be? The next place we're going to go is Mark chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6 says, "And he entereth again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which hath the withered hand, Stand forth." So are we watching other Christians and seeing, are they gonna do this on, you know, such and such a day, or are they gonna actually speak to such and such a person about God on, you know, on their, you know, we'll just use on their birthday, or, you know, are they gonna interrupt, you know, this basketball game to talk about God? Are they gonna stop the waitress to give them a track? Are they gonna do any of those things? And if they do, are we gonna say, hey, you know, we're in public? You know, are we gonna make it seem like that's wrong to do? Or are we gonna encourage them? Are we going to build them up in the will of God? Are we going to allow them to see that what they're doing for God is worth it? Or are we going to put them down for it? And if you see someone doing that, maybe you could say, hey, I just seen you do that, and I personally don't have, you know, maybe the courage or the will to do so, but I respect you for doing that. You know, sometimes it's just small little things of talking to people that God wants you to do to help build them up. How often have our faith been tested and someone was supposed to say something to help strengthen us and they didn't, and it hurt us? It says, "And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth." Is there some sort of disability that you feel you have that you can't stand for God? Are you allowing Him to tell you to stand up and trying? Are you trying to do what He wants, or are you allowing the world to tell you, you know, you're crippled, you can't do this, you don't have the right mind, you're not smart enough to go out and say anything to help change anyone? The first time I was asked to, you know, stand up and preach the word, I was terrified. I remember it was one of the times I did the Sunday school, and we were outside, and I was holding the Bible, and I couldn't read it because I was shaking so much. And I was allowing myself to feel that God couldn't use me. But then at the end, you know, people were saying, you know, it really touched me. You know, I allowed God to take my mouth long enough for Him to say what He needed, for His will to be done. And I wasn't just saying what was in my notes because I thought personally that it would touch such and such a person, or this is what so and so needed to hear, this is what God wants them to hear. These are God's words, they're not man's. Man might have wrote them, but they're from God. They're the inspiration, from the inspiration of God. This is, every word in here is what God wants. Every word in here is what he wants you to read and to understand. But are we allowing ourselves to feel stupid or threatened by the world where we're not reading it, we're not understanding it, we're allowing them to keep us down, or are we standing, being a good servant of the Lord? It says in verse 4, "And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him from Judea." So, even though he knew, Jesus knew all the things that would come to pass if he stretched forth his hand, how the people were supposed to be the ones in the Word the most, closest to God, the ones in the synagogues, preaching, singing, supposed to be giving praises to God. He knew that those ones would be the ones whose hearts were hardened. And how much of it was them hardening them themselves or God hardening them? Were they stiffing their neck to let what Jesus was doing be good, or were they speaking evil of it in their hearts? Even before Jesus came about, were they saying, you know, they heard rumors of the man calling himself Jesus, and instantly, instead of having charity and being in the Word and thinking and praying and having God show them, this is my son, were they with their friends going, you know, this is evil, this man's a devil? And sometimes, it, even though it looks good and it looks like someone has power with God, it will be a devil, or it will be just someone making a big fuss out of something small. But are we sitting there and saying, God, I want you to show me what's really going on? Are you praying to him, asking him for guidance, for leadance on how to approach this person or this subject? Or are we just with our friends speaking evil, having our eyes darkened, the wool pulled over our eyes, if you will? Are we allowing the world to have their voice drown out the still small voice? Are we allowing the music or just the conversations or anything drown out what we're supposed to be hearing? Are we drowning out the Word of God, the precious Word of God, the treasure that is forever, everlasting? We'll never reach the bottom of everything in this book. We'll never finish understanding God fully. But are we trying? Are we trying to get as much out of it as we can? Are we wringing out the Word of God, so to speak, to see if there's anything left we can get out of it that day? Or are we just throwing the towel in, saying, oh, I'm done. You know, that's it. You know, I'm good for the week, or I'm good for just this day. And God was trying to show you this one more thing that'll help you get through maybe this new trial that's going to come up. But you gave it up, and he didn't show you, and you failed. It says, but Jesus withdrew himself. Are we allowing our God to go away from us because he doesn't have his will? He doesn't have his free will to show you something? Is he just saying, they threw the towel in, I'm done with them, I'm walking away? It says, with his disciples, are you the one of the ones that will follow him as he leaves someone? Or are you going to stay with that person and say, no, they're my friend, they're more important than God? Are we having people as an idol in our hearts? Or would we follow Jesus to the sea? It says a great multitude from Galilee followed him. So even though it seems like maybe all your friends are staying, all your friends aren't going to church, all your friends aren't doing this, even maybe your family members are staying home, they're not going to church, they're not reading. Once you're in the Word, you will see that there's a great multitude waiting for you to follow Jesus with open arms. They want you to be a part of God. They want you to be separate from the world. And they're they're not more important maybe than your family members to you personally, but God is. God should be. And once you're with him, you're supposed to have peace with everyone with him. You're supposed to have the same mindset. You're not supposed to let petty disagreements get between you and God. Because, you know, so-and-so took my job in the church. You know, I was going to do that. Or, you know, maybe they did something a different way than you would have, and it doesn't look right. And you let that get between you and God in your daily lives. You know, bitterness against someone about something so small isn't worth maybe not getting saved because you weren't in the Word. You gave up on the church, you gave up on God because someone did something you personally didn't like. It says in verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Are you taking counsel with God's people or with the Pharisees? Even though they might look like, you know, they're God sent and they're in the Word and they know God personally, if they're taking counsel against him, that's a pretty good sign that they're no longer in the will of God. As Dale says, it's all head knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's all they have. Is up in their head. They can quote any verse they want. You know, they know the Bible inside and out in their head. But how much of it are they letting reach to their heart, into their families, into their friends? Are they allowing the light to show forth, or are they putting the basket over it, extinguishing it? Next, we'll go to Mark chapter 7, verse 49. Well, that doesn't look right. That's interesting. I must have written something else. Let me look here real quick. Well, I don't know where I was trying to go with that. Maybe, I'm sorry, it must have been 6:49. It was
6:49.
6:49? Yep. It says, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. So how many miracles have you seen God do, but you let your neck get stiff and your heart was no longer soiled, prepared. It was hardened and you didn't consider it. You didn't look to see what God was doing in your life and you felt alone because you couldn't see what he was trying to show you. The light of God was hid from you because of some small thing that got between you and him and you didn't see it and you felt alone and you failed another test. And now you're going to have to go back through that test. You're going to have to try even harder to get out of the pit you dug yourself and fell in. How many times do we see God and we think it was an evil spirit and cried out? How many times was God pricking our hearts, but we've allowed ourselves to think that was the devil's work and kicked against the bricks? How many times have the preaching gone on and we felt alone and not with God? But we put a God in our heart so we wouldn't feel it anymore. Are we allowing our personal feelings, our personal thoughts to get between us and God? Our minds should be renewed. We should be renewed with God. We shouldn't let, you know, our friends, our family, our coworkers change our thinking for us. Because most of the time, 99% of the time, they won't be of God's changing. You might have one person that's a good friend of yours that is in the Word that'll help you change your thinking in a positive way, in the way that God wants you to change it. But at the same time, are you going to let that one chance be the reasoning for letting everyone change your thinking, to think what everyone else is thinking, to go where everyone else is going, and fall in another pit? Are we allowing the world to take charge in our daily life? And only coming once or twice or even three times a week and allowing God to say something to our hearts, but then leaving it at church. are we Christians only in the pew, or are we Christians at home? What does your family think of you? Set them aside sometime and just ask, hey, what do you think of me being a good Christian? You know, how on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think personally I'm at? Because that'll show you how much you're showing God through you. If they say, you know, you're solid 7, that might be good, but maybe God wants you to be an 8. Maybe you just need to go that one extra step. But if they say you're only a 1 or maybe a 2, then you need to put the brakes down on the world. You need to stop. You need to get in the Word more. You need to pray more. You need to see what God wants you to do to up your Christian walk, to show people what you truly, maybe not you believe, but what the Bible says. Because so often we'll tell people what we believe about the Bible, and it's only a small portion, a sliver of what the whole is, of what, and people see what you believe, and they hear what you say, and they think, well, I could believe that. I don't need to go to church to get that. You know, I don't need to listen to the Word of God. I don't need to pray for God to show me that. So how much are we showing people? How much more are we allowing to show through than our personal beliefs? Are we seeing a spirit and crying out in fear? Or are we walking with God to the sea? Are we walking with God on the sea? Are we doing what no other person in your life is doing for God? Or are we seeing Him and taking counsel against Him? Are we of good cheer? Are we afraid? Are we allowing God to prick our hearts and allow it maybe even to fester for a while? And then when the time is right, allowing God to heal us, to show us what we need to see? Or are we getting on the ship and crying? Crying out for other spirits, crying out for other people? Are we allowing God to show us what He wants? And there's the bell, so I'm done.
That was good, actually. Yeah, good.